Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. It's episode 641 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is July 25th, 2021. I am one of your hosts today, hopefully echo-free, speaking clearly, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And joining me today, a full cast of meat. We have the top sausage, Robin Tate.
Hi, everybody. Hi, it's me here. It's Robin Tate, and I've got a big knob.
And then, speaking of big knobs, Mark Wright on the podcast today.
Hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. Yes, I'm back again. Sorry I missed last one a couple of weeks ago, but England nearly brought it home.
Nearly, yes. Move on. We'll talk about that. We'll commiserate. Yeah. I'm deeply broken up over it, personally.
Oh, yeah.
Crushed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, another knobhead on the show today, Pete Chin in the house.
Slightly smaller than everybody else, but I'm back. Hello.
Pete, it's not the size of the knob, it's how you open your doors with it.
Precisely.
Or yes, something like that. Yes. All right. We are a video game podcast. We talk about video games. We talk about life. We think we are older and more mature, but if you ask any of our significant others, they will tell you exactly the opposite. But that's okay. We are on every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast. And if you happen to be out in the lonely area of the Central Time Zone with Kim, that's 3 p.m. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube Live. You can also catch the replays of our shows every week on our audio feed. And that pretty much goes out to every audio device known to mankind. So go pull it up there if you need to. Otherwise, sit back and enjoy some fun. We'll talk some games. We'll have a little bit of a laugh. And maybe, just maybe, by the end of this, we will have helped you learn something. I doubt it, but you never know. Let's dive into it, Robin. Oh, wait. I see. Oh, yes, we do have a birthday to celebrate. I don't know how I could have forgotten about this.
And there's a very important one, which one was either yesterday or the day before as well.
Well, my wife's was on Thursday. We give a cheer up for that.
Our very own Kimster.
Kim's not as important as my wife, Mark. I hate to break the news to you. I love Kim to death, but my wife does come first, then Kim, and then David Brown. He is having a birthday today, apparently. David turning 64, looking very spry for 64. So congratulations to David. Also, I don't like to talk about this guy very often, but I think we should. Gary DeFelice. Look, he is 86 today. It's controversial because we think he's starting to lose it. Dementia starting to set in a little bit. If you've seen any of his tweets or see him on social media, you'll understand what we're talking about. But look, we are with Gary every step of the way. We hope the best for him and a speedy recovery from his early dementia. And I think we should play him a song. I think we should play a song, Robin.
Happy birthday. Insert name here. Happy birthday to you.
Gentleman was not recognized.
And there we go. We have a bunch of shatters in already. We've got Vampiriad. Sorry. See, Pete, that's the problem with your stupid freaking name. Vampiriad. 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 I don't know what to say of it, but I saw it in the chat. Yeah. I know.
It's pretty simple.
It's not.
It's gay.
All right. We do have Boomer in the chat. We have Lord in the chat. So shout out to the two of them. Let's get on with the show. Let's get into some story time. Let's just kick this off properly. Robin, roll some music.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right. Pete, I'm going to start things off with you because all I see is blah, 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 wedding stuff, blah, 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 wedding stuff, blah, 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 wedding stuff. So let's get into it. Let's talk about the wedding stuff. And I really want to know, did you get food poisoning from food tasting?
Well, I've not been on for a while, so I've got some bits and bobs to put in, but it's not like the most exciting stuff apart from a couple of things. Well, to me, first thing is the wedding. That's next Sunday.
What? God, yeah. That's crept up quick, isn't it?
Well, I've invited you all, and I got nothing back. You bunch of shits.
When?
Even give me that. I think Greg replied and Kim did.
Let's just say Woo Flu. Okay.
Yeah.
When is it next week? Is it next weekend?
All I kept hearing was it's been delayed. It's been delayed.
That's everybody's excuse.
Is it next? Yeah? Is it next? Sorry, Pete. Is it next weekend?
Yes, next Sunday.
I'm working and I can't get out of it neither.
The numbers are in now, so it's tough.
If I showed up, you wouldn't send me away.
I wouldn't, actually, no. So, yeah.
You might be taken away, Robin.
Yeah, probably, yeah. On a stretcher at the end of the night. So the naked. the wedding's next Sunday. The thing is that all of the restrictions in the UK kind of got lifted on the 19th of July, and it's just been a whirlwind since then, really. We had a meeting with the venue, and then they said they're okay with numbers, so we've been like just scrambling around, just doing stuff like with invites, trying to organise the actual venue and stuff itself, and all the bits and bobs, like the things that go on the tables, and all the trinkets, and the logistics of what's going to happen on the day, and it's just been non-stop, really. So, yeah, it's all been wedding stuff. That's been one of the main things that's been going on.
Pete, can I just go back to it? So it basically is blah 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 wedding, blah 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 wedding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been flat out at work. Stupid little things just going on, but just taking like tons of time.
Okay. Pete, let's take a moment. So you've been flat out on your back at work? I don't understand. Are you now gigoloing? What's going on with
the
work?
I've been flat out with my feet up playing on like xCloud. Really living, really loving life, you know. No, I've been busy just with building projects. We've got like a honeybee's nest that's blocking off one of the bridges, and it's enormous. It's like 25,000 bees. That's just crept up on us. We've got a festival that we're organising in September. We've got a retreat weekend we're organising in August. There's another event at the end of September. Yeah, we've just got some big things going on. So, like fire prevention projects, and we've got all sorts going on. So, I've just been...
Speaking of fire, really that would be the solution for the bee's nest, fire.
Yeah, it would be, but not ethically correct, I suppose. I don't think... In our setting, it would be a kind thing to do. Working with conscientious objectors, I don't think setting stuff on fire is just, the done thing.
Kill them all!
Yeah. there's loads of stuff going on there, but I put building stuff. There's been stuff going on at home as well. I got broke into the other week, and the damage caused there was a couple of windows and a door. To secure the house more, I've put up a camera and a gate in the side entry, which completely blocks that off. That's just been one of those things as well that's like caused a bit of panic at home. Didn't really want to make us leave the house. It's quite a shit time, but there we go. So I've had some new doors and windows fitted yesterday. That was one thing that went on yesterday as well. Shell had food poisoning a couple of days ago, so we've not been able to go out and do all of the wedding stuff that we planned, like clothes shopping and stuff, the past 2 days. So that's kicked things in the air. But while she's been ill, we've caught up with the Olympics. We've watched the opening ceremony, and we've been watching day one and day two of like all the highlights, and you know what Great Britain are up to, and the rest of the world, and how badly we're doing at the moment. But you know, it's good. It's all there's lots of swimming.
Hey, let's talk about the Olympics real quick.
Yeah,
I was like, you know, there was no pre-hype. It felt like for the Olympics, like. They just kind of snuck in.
Yeah, I didn't even know it started. Yeah.
And I was like, the opening ceremony happened. Yeah. It just felt like nobody was really giving it a lot of hype. And I don't know if it was because, I mean, all I kept hearing about was COVID with the Olympics.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I mean, there's no, like in Japan itself, there's no signage, no hype there. But I think there's been a big presence online about it, especially in the UK possibly. With British athletes. They've been having interviews and stuff and you know, kind of hyping it all up. But the opening ceremony was really good, actually. There was no crowd, so that was really, really bizarre to see. I'm a big fan of the Olympics, and I do watch it every time it comes round. And I absolutely love it, to be honest. I'm a bit of an Olympics geek.
So on that, you know, I usually am.
Yeah.
Leading into this, though, I threw out a tweet, too. I was like, you know, why do I get the feeling this is just going to be a very, like, low-key, not hyped Olympic? And it was because I wasn't feeling it personally, and I just wasn't seeing a lot of hype for it, you know, through commercials and television and all of that, you know. But then I sat down, I started watching it, and just like that, I'm hooked.
Yeah, back in. I mean, it was a bit of a, I don't know, there was some depressing times in it. I think it was telling the story of athletes being alone, wasn't it, during the ceremony and trying to motivate themselves and adapting their own little ways to try and exercise and blah blah blah. So I think COVID and all of that lockdown and stuff that's been going on at the moment and all the restrictions really impacted the way that ceremony was delivered. And I think you know, I feel sorry for the athletes as well. They've been put in this village where they're isolated between, you know, their own country, and I think they can mix with one other, but they're in their own little groups, and it's just, I don't know, I really feel sorry for them. They've not got the support that they normally would do in crowds, and for the 15, 16-year-olds that are going out there, I bet it's really, really strange for them. But the ceremony on a whole, I thought it was really good. They did a section with a... Well, the actual Japanese symbol for the Olympics is just kind of like this circle built up of squares, and there's children that made that in the stadium, and then all of a sudden there was it flicked to a scene in the air where it was drones, and they had 1,800 drones in the air creating this symbol, and then all of a sudden it changed to a globe, and you could see the continents on the globe, and it was just, did you see it, Greg, or not?
No, yeah, I've seen things like that before. So, I mean, the way you're describing it totally makes sense to me.
Yeah.
The drone technology that they're using now to incorporate into these fireworks, you know, extravaganzas in the air is amazing. Yeah. It is really transforming those kinds of events, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
I still love my fireworks, don't get me wrong. But the drones being able to do these special, you know, symbols in the air and just visuals is pretty incredible.
Yeah. So it was good. It was good to watch, and I've enjoyed the 2 days so far. Today, I enjoyed the swimming on day one, watching Adam Peaty, and just swimming was great. And Michael Phelps isn't there, which makes things a lot easier for us.
The Australians. The Australians are going to be tough this year. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, Michael Phelps isn't there as well, which just does make swimming a lot easier, I suppose, for freestyle, but. Today was the because there's six new events that have entered into the Olympics, and skateboarding and BMX riding are two of them, along with like karate and kata, and I think softball's coming made a comeback from, was it about 12, 16 years ago or something like that. Anyway, I've got really into the Olympics while Shell was a bit poorly, and I've not really watched anything else apart from one other thing called Fear Street 1994 on Netflix.
Ah, yes, yes.
You heard about this?
I have it on my wish list now, or not wish list, my watch list. I've been meaning to start it up. I think I should wait for Cindy, because it seems like it feels like it's like maybe a Stranger Things kind of, but then I've heard it's actually quite serious.
Yeah, it is. It is quite serious, I suppose. But it has got. I think the thing that makes it feel like Stranger Things is because it's just set back in 1994, and it's mm-hmm. going to be kind of as a kind of retro, you know, to us. Where there's right. There's a kid who's on AOL, talking on Messenger on his big like Commodore. Like it's not a Commodore. It's just like a big PC, you know, with a big box screen and stuff like that. So there's little things in it that make it feel kind of, yes, like Stranger Things. But it's very serious on its story, and it's kind of it shows a little battle between two areas, like two high schools, and there's an element of screaming it as well. So you know,
is that the
trilogy one? Yeah, because there's one in 94. I think the other one is in the 60s, isn't it? And then the other one, I can't remember now. They're in so three, like, different
multiple times.
Times.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Are we all interlinked story wise?
I don't know. I don't know because I've not seen. I've not
have seen,
you only seen
one of them.
Yeah,
all right. Okay.
Yeah, I've only seen the other. It's the one goes to 1978, which is part two. I'm just looking now, and part three goes to 1666. In fact, I do know what that's going to cover there. Then now they've mentioned those dates, but I don't want to spoil anything. But it's kind of like you know how Scream's a little bit kind of a cheesy. It's like, yeah. Oh my god, how could you not see that person? Or it was kind of like that. But it's also it's a really, really good watch, and there's some good elements of gore in it as well. I thought it was good. It's definitely hooked me to watch two and three. So I hope they deliver as well. Yeah, really good. And we've kind of gone, because we've like had to stay at home a lot with the house being a bit insecure and just like everything just turning up on itself. We've not been swimming as much, and Shell's been ill, and we've had loads of fast food, which is probably one of the things that gave Shell food poisoning. I don't know.
Possibly.
So the exercise before the wedding has just gone to absolute shit, to be honest. So thing is, as long as she turns up next week and says yes, then that's it, really.
Really all that matters.
I think
honestly.
It's a bit bloody late if you've only got a week to go, mate.
Say it again.
I think you've got a bit late if you've only got a week to go.
Unless I starve myself and stuck like loads of caffeine up my ass.
I was going to say a good enema. Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't bothered. My clouds fit me.
Viagra is your friend.
That's important. Yeah. By the way, the fun fact about food poisoning is the majority of food poisoning actually happens from your own home.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. Most people don't realize that. They think, oh, it has to come from the restaurant. No, it probably comes from our own bad habits of, you know, not necessarily taking the proper precautions. But oh well. It happened. She's over it. That's the best part. She's good.
I'm excited about it. I've took a few food hygiene courses, and they're the first things that I tell you on those courses. Most of it happens at home, as they say.
Yep. So, all right.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's me.
Cool. Thanks, Pete. Mark, what's been going on with you?
Yeah. So, like Pete, hours and hours at work. It's just horrendous at the moment. I just seem to spend more time at work than ever, and hardly any time at home. So very little gaming time, a few hours here and there. But I do like to chill out and watch TV on the night with Jenny, just to relax. I think I mentioned last time we just finished two seasons of SWAT. And now we've started, we've been watching it 4 weeks now, Sons of Anarchy. Yeah. Back to 2008. But yeah,
kinda,
we never saw it.
You went from one extreme to the other. You went from good guys police to bad guys gang.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Okay. So yeah, we've started Sons of Anarchy. We've completed three seasons now. We've just started season four last night.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So really enjoyed season one and two, three. Three was okay, and four, it's getting a bit serious now. So there's a lot going off, and some of the characters you really liked in the first couple of seasons, you know, thinking what a fucking dick he is.
Yeah, so, you're gonna think about that, you know, the Irish, they come into it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we've done all the Belfast one. when we were in Ireland, we were on the bikes when we landed on off the ferry from Scotland and went past the signpost and it says Ballymena. And I went, oh, hello, Robin.
Yeah,
some of it was filmed in Ireland. So, yeah, but yeah, it was good. But yeah, season four, I know it's not, it can't be a spoiler because it's years old now, but it's now, they've now got involved with a drug cartel and shit's getting serious. So, yeah, there was a lot of stuff going Pete Tong. Yeah, it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. Jenny's enjoying it as well. We're watching like two episodes a night if we can.
It's a good show. It does. There's a couple seasons, especially as it gets on, with any show that has a long history, I think, where you're kind of like, okay, not the best of seasons, but I think overall we really enjoyed Sons of Anarchy as well. I think you will be pleased with the way it all finishes out. All right, cool. Anything else, Mark?
That's about it on that side of things. We watched a couple of movies. I think you've already talked about them. The Tomorrow War, we watched that on Amazon Prime. That's pretty decent. Right. Enjoyed that.
It's all right.
Good popcorn flick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the suspense.
And we watched episode one of War of the Worlds. And we haven't seen episode two yet. We'll watch it after the podcast tonight. So, yeah, that's getting interesting now. I didn't like the timeline jump in episode one. All of a sudden, it's like 6 months later. So, yeah, it's a bit of a sort of like jump there, but. Yeah, we're like
War of the Worlds season two. It's good. I will just say it's good.
There's a lot of that first episode. I was chatting with Greg on WhatsApp about it. There's a lot of questions that episode one makes you think about a lot of stuff. It makes you think: is there some like time travel involved? Are they just aliens? Or where they come from? How they linked? There's a lot of questions. I'm looking forward to it.
By the way, Lord in the chat said he also loves Sons of Anarchy, but also kind of agrees. It does drag towards the end. Real quickly, before we get to Robin, I'll jump in. One thing I was going to bring up, and I forgot to put in the notes, but on Netflix, you know how they have The Toys That Made Us? They have a new series, The Films That Made Us. The movies that made us.
Is that not the second season of it?
I don't believe so. I think it's the first season of it.
I thought I looked up the other night to go, oh yeah, I remember that. But I think it's season two now. Because I think the first ones were E.T. and stuff like that.
I don't know. I just am not paying attention to which season.
It was very, very good.
But it is good. One of the first movies that covers Back to the Future, but then they covered Pretty Woman, and there was some stuff in there. I had no clue. It was good stuff. I like the approach they're taking. They're really getting into some of the stuff you didn't hear about or don't know about.
Yeah, I love that. Good.
Yeah. We covered the Olympics. I am now on board with the Olympics, but leading into probably yesterday, I was completely off that train. Getting ready to go to Disneyland next weekend, so that is exciting. We are staying actually at the resort, so we're staying at the California Adventures Hotel. We decided to pay the big ticket and stay there.
That looks like a nice
Which is nice.
Is there not many restrictions like on internal travel then across the states, like as far as you've got to go or no?
No, not at all. But we're actually going to drive down for this one.
Oh, God,
the past we've flown. It'll probably take around 8 hours ish.
Where to?
Into Disneyland. Driving from where I live now down to Disneyland.
Anaheim.
Okay. Right. Normally we've flown in the past. This year we said, well, we'll just drive because of all of the restriction stuff and our son.
Some of the airlines are forcing kids and even kids with special needs to wear masks out, and
it's just not going to work with Colin. It just won't. So we said, you know what, we'll drive. So we're excited for that. We had a fantastic dinner the other night at the local.
You're getting on to the Millennium Falcon. That's the new Disney in Los Angeles. And
newsflash, I've been on the new Millennium Falcon already. 2 years to this day, we were in Disneyland last year. So it's kind of funny. I don't know how we did that. Yeah, we are literally going back again almost 2 years to the day.
Is that open 2 years now? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. In fact, now we get to go see they have the Avengers area. Yeah. That's the new attraction. And they've added, I guess, another ride or attraction within the Disneyland Star Wars area. So I'm excited to go back, check out the new additions.
Oh, wow.
They've lifted a lot of the mask restrictions as well. So for vaccinated people, we don't have to wear a mask. Although I don't know if that may be changing, to be perfectly honest, because Los Angeles just made an announcement that everybody indoors has to wear a mask in Los Angeles County. So I have a feeling we may have to wear masks when we're at least inside of things. And I don't know how that works in Disneyland, but go figure.
Well, there's a lot of things outdoor, isn't there? Well, I've only been to the one in Paris, but it's
most of it's outdoors. Most of it's outdoors, so I don't quite know how they will handle that, if they do at all. Who knows?
How much is a trip now then to Disneyland? Is it really, really expensive?
This trip is probably costing us for 2 days in the park and three nights at the hotel about $3,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The hotel is not cheap, but we said, you know what, screw it. What's nice about the hotel is they actually have their own private entrance to Disneyland. So we go straight from the hotel right into the park.
You get an earlier, probably an hour earlier if you want as well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But we are paying the premium for that. Yeah. So
Nice.
Brilliant. Anyway, exciting. We had this fantastic dinner. So my wife, her birthday was on Thursday. So we went out, had a wonderful dinner at a steakhouse at the casino near me called High Stakes. And we've befriended one of the managers there who really hooked us up. But we also got a great deal. In a sense, he gave us one of the bottles at discount. We ended up getting two bottles of Cabernet Sauvignon from Nickel and Nickel, which is a Napa Valley vineyard. Goes for about $140 a bottle. But it was tremendous.
Oh my god,
I'm a huge fan. I've had Nickel and Nickel before, so I said, you know, I'm gonna get a bottle for us for dinner. And then he discounted that bottle for us, and then I was like, do you think we could get another bottle to go? Well, even if you have to open it. And he didn't open it for us. He said, you know what, we'll just say I opened it. So we ended up buying a second bottle. So we have something to enjoy in the near future as well.
Very good.
How old is the wine?
This was from 2018.
Oh, really?
2018, Napa Valley wines, you know, Pete, they just are ungodly expensive, to say the least. It just that whole area, but Nickel and Nickel is a fantastic winemaker. So if you ever get a chance,
I don't think I will. Not that price.
And then lastly, I have gotten back into our Expeditionary Force books. The latest book is out.
Me too.
I've been listening to that. It also ironically, the trust the awesomeness, which is one of the catchphrases of the one main characters. This applies to me solving some of our own microphone and sound effects issues, which leads me directly into Robin.
Banana, you filthy monkey. Taking all the fucking credit.
Yes.
Okay. I'll give it to you that you pointed out the excellent and most awesome Elgato piece of hardware called the Wave XLR. Now, as you know, avid listeners, not Mark because he hasn't been around, but avid listeners knows I've been struggling terribly with this beastie here. This is a US Behringer deck mixer, and it's the second one that I've had, and for unknown reasons they seem to go bad quickly. My first one did and it is bust, and Joshua tested
I am on my second one. I have to send one back.
I had a real tough time, and just out of the blue last weekend Greg mentioned that Elgato had released this thing called the Wave XLR. And it's a big knob. And
Elgato are an awesome company.
So they make, they're the guys that make the Stream Decks. That's not the one with the Steam library.
Yes.
That's the one with the little...
It started off with game capture buttons. Devices.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ironically, just as a side note, they announced a new Steam Deck the same day Valve announced the Stream Deck.
Reverse. You got that wrong. Say again. Valve announced the Steam Deck.
Elgato announced the Stream Deck. It's easy to mix up. Also, real quickly, Boomer, Red Wine, Cabernet Sauvignon was fantastic.
Anyway.
Just wanted to make sure I answered that.
This one little device and a piece of software from Elgato called Wavelink, so a Wave XLR, and the software replaces that whole deck. And I'm doing everything tonight on board. My mic plugs in, the XLR good mic plugs into the back of this, and my headphones goes into the back of it. And the software is brilliant. The problem we were having through the week is sound effects. So these little boyos here, this dick move stuff.
It was a dick move.
To do this, you generally need a... That was played through an iPad before with a soundboard on it. And to do that all on board, it takes some trickery. And you need to do a thing that's called a virtual cable. And this is behind the curtains a bit here. But just yesterday... Wasn't it yesterday?
Potato!
Just yesterday, Greg and I muddled it out. And I had... We were using this... Going to use this thing called Voice Meter... And then I went, no, let's try this. He tried that. And Greg sent me a clip, but it was a bit poppy, like processor poppy.
Yeah.
And then I had a look at it again and I thought, no, let's get out with that. And I've worked it out and it seems to be going perfectly now, so which is fabulous. So I'm really, really pleased. The way this device has a big, big knob on the front of it. It's so elegant and simple. So
we also do a microphone called the Wave microphone. It's a USB mic. And that allows you to use the software as well.
You have to
have either the Wavelink or the Wave Mic to use the software. They're both very great bits of kit.
Very, very simple to operate. And the Wavelink software that comes with this is free. Yes, I think the microphones came a year or so ago, and this is the Wave XLR, so like an add-on for it. So fabulous. It looks to be working well for us so far tonight. And long may it continue, because you deserve good quality audio. This week in Northern Ireland, we broke all sorts of temperature records. I think even within the UK, we were 31.8 degrees, I believe.
Proper heat wave. Yeah,
mega hot, which is... Greg's just about to take a jumper off at that stage, but mega hot for us. And even though I'm on 8-bit camera tonight, I've got a good old Scorchio and have thoroughly enjoyed a little bit of time. Of course, a lot of time was spent this week in my car working, of course, driving around. But I grabbed an hour here and there, and yesterday was lovely lying around the house and doing bits and pieces, and today again it's been fab. Again, very, very busy with work, but just the temperature's fab. It's supposed to break a bit this week, but we've had a good old run of it, and hopefully we won't get the floods that Germany and Belgium and China.
Let's hope you do not, for sure.
Real
quickly, before we dive up, those that are noticing, I talked about being on a slip and slide about a week back.
Oh yeah,
that's the medicine.
Yes, drinking, slip and slide. I have yet to officially go to the doctor, but I know there likely is some actual damage done to my arm, based on how it's felt this past week. So I smartly had a wrist brace, I put it on. My second doctor that's not a doctor, Robin Tate, said, just go to the doctor, Greg. And likely that'll happen early next week. But if you're just wondering you see this.
My ribs are still bad, not as good as they should be. When I sneeze, it still hurts, but not just as much. But I'm soon getting ready to get back on the water again. Sorry, one final thing about this Wave XLR. One of the loveliest thing about it, muting was always a click, but there's a haptic pad on the back of it where you just touch it and
it's the best sound ever,
and then I'm back again, but it's but there's no clicking. You just gently caress the back of the device. It's lovely. When you get one yours, Greg, you'll love it. I'm also listening to our wonderful friends in space with the Stupid Monkeys. But I also finished, like Greg had a while back, this Mountain Man series, which is kind of zombie series, but not sort of more about the characters. The zombies are almost gone in this book. There's only a few of them being left, and they're being used as tools or weapons now almost. And I have to say, it ended as good as it could have. I think it ended open-ended. It was kind of cool, and I liked it. And I have to admit, he met his old friend at the very end, and I was sad, but also quite pleased that he met his old friend again. And cheers to you, Jack. So, Okay. You know, but it's a fantastic series. Mountain Man, there's 12 books in it. It is funny. It is good. It is as good as, if not better than The Walking Dead. The TV series. In a book.
I still think I like Arisen better than Mountain Man. Absolutely. If I'm going with my books. Arisen, probably my favorite.
But as a pure zombie thing, I would say Mountain Man that way. As an army zombie thing, Arisen is just also superb.
Yeah.
Same narrator, R.C. Bray. Different writers, but two. If you're ever going to start listening to audiobooks and you like a sort of zombie thing, as it feels familiar, not completely sci-fi, those two book ranges, Mountain Man or Arisen, just fab. I did watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood this week. I just caught it over two nights.
I've got that watch list.
And I have to admit, I do love his rambling Pulp Fiction-y, you know, that type of rambling story which goes all over the place. And I held back watching it because my great aunt is in it, and there's references to my great, she'd be my great second aunt. And it's sort of, she's in it, but it's not really about her. And there's the Manson movies, the Manson killing, the Manson family. It's set around that time of the 70s. And Sharon Tate was killed by the Manson family. Maybe my great aunt, second, and whatever it is, somewhere like that. But the movie sort of, it drags along, and it's interesting. But the last 10 minutes is what makes the whole movie. So the last 10 minutes are just, they're just awesome. Awesome. It makes it worthwhile watching it all. So, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, worth watching. Okay, I had mentioned that my son Joshua, I'll finish here. My son Joshua had started a new job, and he's got his first week almost over. It's with a company called DAZN, an American company, sports broadcasting. And he came home tonight, wasn't expecting him home. And he's in the control room, so he's somebody came in sick. He's done a bit of training or didn't come in sick. He had to take over a live broadcast. So if you imagine Wimbledon when the commentators go into a commercial break, well, he queues up the commentators to come back in again. He'll start the ads and all of the bits and pieces. And it's all, in the UK, it's mostly boxing, but they do stuff from all over the world. But in the UK, licensing reasons are only that way. But he came in tonight and he logged on to his dev account on my lovely big screen. And I am now watching the Canadian stream, which is fucking everything. From NFL Game Pass, which I was paying. MLB, the whole thing. Basketball. I have all the tennis stuff. I have all the boxing stuff. I mean, there's tons. So it's all
never ever log out of that computer.
Yeah. So tons and tons. And then there's a whole pile of esports stuff. Madden esports is the thing it's on right now as well. But boxing and you name it, it's there. The tennis, there's live stuff. So it's live. And then the boxing stuff, I can't wait to start watching that. There's some real historic stuff going back 20 and 30 and 40 years.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, you go back to the Tyson matches and different
big. Yeah, Marvin Hagler.
Yeah. Fantastic. So great. He seems to be enjoying it. Good for him, and Dad's benefiting as well.
I was going to say, Robin, you seem to be talking about the benefit of all the channels, but going back to Joshua, and well done to him. What? Because you said he was going to go for a job with the BBC then. I'll take it.
It's still there. So that's still.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that position doesn't start until January, funny enough. Yeah, it's the way they bring people. I think there's three or four people that come in. But they'll be starting in January, so they should hear in September time.
So is he doing a lot of freelance work? Because a lot of BBC that I see, there tend to be a lot of freelancers.
So he is on his, like, I think this is just the industry that he's in. He's self-employed. He is his own.
Yeah. Business,
so he has set up his own little company. We've got my accountant on the go. And I think
nice.
I think that's just the industry that he's in now.
So, yeah, well done to him.
Yeah, so it's not exactly, it's broadcast media he studied.
Yeah.
So it is going to be documentary and news documentary. And it's funny enough what your brother does, a lot of his, you know, that stuff. So, but, you know, he's straight out of uni. Oddly enough, his graduation was this week.
Oh, is he?
And
Kira's is next week on Friday.
It was virtual. We sat at home in our living room and watched a YouTube live stream.
That sucks.
And that sucked. Yeah, and as good as it was, all the lecturers talked, and then it got to his class and some, you know, lots of photographs, and then they called out each person's name, and that was it. It was a bit flat. Yeah. And he's had a strange university time, like 3 years, you know, in Queen's and Belfast, one of the most renowned universities in the world, fantastic university. And their big student union has been knocked down to rebuild a new one. So we knew that was happening, so he wasn't getting that. And then COVID came along. So he really hasn't had,
well,
but what the heck?
I mean, think of it this way. You know what? He has moved on from university. He's now he's got his sports gig going. He's going to go to the BBC. And after that, he'll graduate to porn. His life is set.
I don't care. I honestly, you know, so what? You know, I've got some free channels now. Maybe drop me your old.
Imagine what else you can get for free.
Just disused, secondhand skank, whatever it may be. I don't care.
No, you never know. No. One day they might need a gilf.
You never know. I could be the bouncer or something like that there. Other stuff. Dinner through the week. I had a lovely dinner. I bought a new turntable. We'll talk about that some other time. And my new job is starting. It isn't supposed to start until September, but I got through into the deep end this week. Robin, deal with this.
Mr. Big Tate.
Yeah, funny enough, on Friday, our new MD organized a lovely day out for us all. Not a day out. He organized this thing called, it was a food truck. And you ordered ahead of time for fish and chips, local, or lovely gourmet burgers. And we had tables outside our offices. And when I drove down, it's a couple of hundred, well, it's 100 odd miles away from me. So I drove down for lunch because I thought, well, I really must do this now that I'm
you have responsibilities, Robin.
Now I'm one
you
of
actually
the,
need to show up.
Now I'm one of them. I have to, yeah. Yes. But it was fabulous. I had lovely fresh fish and chips, and it was lovely sitting outside. So that's all.
Days of the god of calling your customers dickheads.
He is fucking such a dickhead. He's still causing me fucking trouble, that man.
Christ. Have you not nailed that deal yet?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
he did. He got it. That was beautiful. I love that story.
Yeah, but the same but the same guy now has realized he's overspent on fancy designers and every other thing. So we're cutting all the luxury items out of his order at the moment to try and claw back some money from him. Anyway, no matter.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about games, Robin. Let's get into some actual game. Boy, you gotta learn to play it right. All right. We don't have the announcements yet, I think, for the August games that are going to be coming with all the subscriptions we pay for. So we will hold off on talking about that. We will talk about what we have been playing. I'm going to start this off with Robin, because Robin, your game out of all of these is the least exciting to me.
Thank you for saying that. Hurry up, Robin.
I have
a... I say least exciting only because it's a very known quantity.
Yeah. Oh, hold on a second. I have a whole book prepared here of notes. I'll take about six. So this week gaming again, just because of work and everything else, but I have had two sessions, maybe three. I had a wee bit yesterday, had a good couple of hours the other night, and I took an hour this afternoon. I actually understand with this weather now, this man cave is actually cooler than outside. Mm-hmm. And I understand now that the heat has been going on for several weeks. I can understand Greg not feeling guilty about being outside in the heat and the sun, because we feel that we need to be out in the sun because the sun comes so rarely and we feel guilty about doing things inside when the sun is shining. Like, kids, get outside now! You know? But today I came in, Judith and I went for a walk with Jasmine to get her to sleep and for a nap. And I came in and I sat in here for an hour and a half. And I went and surveyed some planets and found a few accidental missions, which are always fun. I'm getting very close now to that big suicide mission, but I'm just going around scooping up everything, doing everything, and it's just amazing the little side stories and bits and pieces that I'm coming across.
Have you done all the oil missions?
I've got...
I was just going to say, also worth noting, we're talking about Mass Effect 2 here.
Yes.
We failed to mention that as we started all this off.
Oh, sorry. Mass Effect 2.
Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
Yes. You weren't just probing planets out of your observatory in your back garden, were you? It was actually a video game.
Yeah. I think I've got Tally. I just started Tally today, so I just went onto her big fleet of ships and then saved it. I've got the robot guy, Legion, to do, and... this week I finished the Krugan, the big warrior guy, and they're really good. So, there's some of the that were brill. Some of them are really, really.
I remember Mr. Christopher Matthew drilling it into me. Make sure you do every loyalty mission before you take on the suicide mission.
Oh yeah, I'm going to.
It will affect you big time.
Yeah, I'm not.
By the way, was Legion DLC originally?
Legion, was he DLC? I don't know.
I want to say, I thought he was DLC originally. I didn't think he was part of the original Mass Effect 2, but then they added him in.
I finished the Shadow Broker DLC storyline ages ago.
So
I've played it along with the game, and it just feels right. Mass Effect 2's class. I'm looking forward to Mass Effect 3 as well, because I just thought the beginning of it was epic, wasn't it? Just with the way it started,
and
then the Reapers come out, and that big noise.
More of a technical file. Some of those loyalty missions. I think there was two that I cocked up on. I either didn't pass them, or there was somebody that died, or I just didn't do something right, and they ended up like, did I make a wrong decision, and they ended up like not going through those missions. I can't remember what happened.
The first one of those happened to me this week. It was actually, you reminded me now, Thane, who is Thane is like a fishy face guy.
Yeah,
he's an assassin, and he got a bit pissed off with me and decided that he's not loyal, so he's probably gonna die. I did some, but again, I'm playing this as a bastard, Pete. Every decision I make is the other worst thing you can possibly think of. Sometimes there's the little blue trigger to be a nice person and maybe let someone off, or there's the red trigger comes up. Well, every time I'm hitting that, and it's about, if
I
you
just
ever
can't do it, I can't do it.
If you ever played like LA Story, where there was sometimes and he was interrogating people, and they asked him, what color is your favorite color? And they answer red, and he almost puts a gun to their head. Well, I put a gun to their head and pull the trigger. It's just like so extreme. I mean, they picked their nose at me, but I shoot their balls off or put them in the head, whatever. I just, don't cross me, man. So, yeah, I'm good time. I'm sorry. I just love it. Love it, love it, love it.
That, technically wise, we've been sort of like a remaster. What's it like graphically and audio? Is it a big improvement on the original? Is it noticeable?
I think it looks fantastic. It is a space thing. It's not real life, but I think it looks much better. I'm not comparing it with the previous Mark, but I think it looks fab. So
I know there are it is graphically enhanced, and so I think in particular, like Mass Effect 1, I think probably is the one game you'll notice more than the others.
Yeah, because 2 and 3 looked awesome on the 360 back in the day anyway, didn't they?
And also with Mass Effect 1, I think they redid the control scheme as well. Yep, so they let you control with the new controls as opposed to the old system.
In Mass Effect 1, they redid the control scheme, and they also changed the XP system, the leveling up system as well. So it made it a bit simpler. I still think Mass Effect 1's system of weapon upgrades and your powers, stuff like that. It's much better. It's the best.
Yeah, I found 2 and 3 were more arcadey in the shooting side, whereas 1 was definitely more RPG.
And I thought at the time this was awkward, but I actually have kind of loved that, you know? So anyway, Mass Effect will continue. I feel guilty about trying anything else or playing, because I have that wonderful Shark game waiting queued up. I've got other stuff. I've got The Last of Us Part 2 video to watch. We have lots of other games to do, but I just want to continue with Mass Effect. I'm sorry. I apologize. I know it doesn't make it
Don't apologize. Week, it's okay. Having a good time with it. And many people have been playing Mass Effect Legendary Edition over this past summer.
I still haven't had any Alien Poontang, which is because I'm being a bastard, I think. Even the fucking skanks. Probably. Even the skanks don't want me.
In this case, good guys do finish first or last, something like that. Anyway, Pete, let's talk about It Takes Two.
Yeah, it's the only game I've really. Well, in fact, I completed Assassin's Creed. I think I don't even know if it was the proper ending.
Yeah, it's weird how it ended. Yeah,
After all those hours, like 150 hours or whatever it was, I played and I got that, and I was like, "What?
Yep,
is that it?"
I felt the same. Yeah,
I felt a bit like deflated after that game. But it was good. But I was like Robin, you know, when you get those choices of whether to be a bastard or to be a good person, even like if they'd done the worst thing to me ever, I'd still let them like die with dignity and die with their axe, not like drive it through the head or strap them to a horse.
I think this has turned open a whole new way of life to me. So,
I hope that doesn't reflect in your new job.
I was just going to say, well, this might be like maybe the new job rubbing off on Robin. Maybe that's what's happening.
He's going to be a headhunter. I enjoyed Assassin's Creed, but he's gone now. Anyway, yeah, It Takes Two. So it's another action-adventure video game, and it's also, I suppose, it's got some platform elements to it as well. Has anybody else played this yet?
This is the
co-op couch game, right?
You could play it online or split screen. On the old couch. I heard this on the Veteran Gamers. It was Stu that was talking about it, and he was playing this game with his daughter Millie, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it a go. I might play it with our daughter Kira, see what she thinks of it. But in the end, I was talking to Shell about it, and she was like, "Well, can I have a go?" And I was like, "All right."
Oh, wow.
So you get the first chapter for free. So I just thought, well, at least we could just play it for nothing, and we can just take it from there. So yeah, we get on. Shell like absolutely fell in love with this game. It's so, so good. And she ended up like, she said, you've got to buy the full game. So once you've got to the end of the chapter, you've got the option then of purchasing the full game. And I had to buy it on that same night. She just wouldn't let it go. She was just like, buy this game. Just make sure you buy this game. So I ended up buying it from CD Keys for about £6 or £7 cheaper than the retail price of what it is on Microsoft Store. So I got a deal in that way. And we ended up playing another chapter or maybe another two.
Sorry, but Pete. Played on PC or on Xbox or what? Or PlayStation?
Oh, I played this on Xbox. I think you can play it on PC.
Okay.
It's pretty much everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's an EA game.
Yeah, you can play it on PC, and I'm sure I've seen it on the PlayStation as well, advertised somewhere. But I played it on Xbox, and it's so, so good. I mean, Stu was really raving about this on the Veteran Gamers, and I just thought, you know what, I'm going to have to give it a go. And it's a beautiful game. It's like, you know, Ori and Will of the Wisp, and it's very slick. It's very smooth.
What's that one? The graphics are great. You remember Mark the chef, the scary one,
Little Nightmares.
Little Nightmares. It looks like that sort of style. Yeah. Little miniature people.
It's basically about a young girl and her parents are arguing and on the brink of divorce, and this little girl being upset, she ends up going to a book that's about love, And she's got two little toys as well, which you can see on the screen now. They're almost like two little toy characters, a male and female. And she ends up crying because she hears her mum and dad arguing. She ends up crying like around this book and onto the two characters. And the personalities, or the souls from the mom and dad transfer into these two little dolls, and they have to find their way pretty much back to try and get their daughter to bring them back into the normal world. And
so it's a marriage guidance game then.
Pretty much almost, yeah. But it's almost like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. So these little figures, they're tiny, they are. So the world that you're in, the universe that you're playing, everything that is, you know, what you would see, I don't know, like toolboxes and hammers and shelves and animals and stuff, they're all like, you know, super, super big. So it's really, really good. The co-op element is good. You have to work together a lot. And even, like I said, Shell's played this game and she's not really into video games at all. And she's played this and she's just blown away by it. She loves it. She got used to the control element. And Mike, when I was playing, I played the first couple of chapters with Shell. And Mike says to me, when he plays these type of games with Tara, she has to invert all of the axis on the controller. And she ends up playing better. So I did that for Shell and she did the same. She started playing better. So we've married two weirdos. They're just, I don't know, it's just a fantastic game. You've just got to play this if you've got time and you've got someone to play along with. But I think once you purchase the game, the other person doesn't need to buy it at all. They can jump right onto your game. So that's another good thing about it. You haven't got to really fork out much money to play this game together. And I don't know how long it's going to take altogether. I reckon it's going to be like a 10, 12-hour type game. I don't think it's going to be huge. But if you play with someone who's relatively inexperienced, then I suppose it goes a little bit longer because, like I say, there are all elements where you're playing and you're playing parts of the levels where you've got to shoot certain targets and shoot in certain times, or you've got to really assist each other and work well as a co-op team. And if the other person isn't used to gaming, you'll be repeating yourself constantly. And that's what I did with Shell. And she was just like, I must be doing your editing. And I was just like, no, because I really love the way this game handles. And I love the story. I just think it's brilliant. So I think it was about 4 weeks ago when we played this. So it's been a while now.
Played single player?
No.
You have to play it in co-op.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to play co-op.
There's no AI option.
No, but I'd happily, like, once I've gone through it, I'd happily play it again with someone, like, you know, on here, if you want to play it, Mark, or whatever, and you don't want to buy it, then I've already bought it now, so all right. I'm happy to play it again with someone. So, like I say, it probably wouldn't take that long if you're playing, like, with a, you know, an uber-experienced gamer. But, you know, it's really enjoyable as well watching it with an inexperienced gamer, just watching how they handle these games and the intensity of it and just watching their excitement. You're like, this is why I play video games. It's because of this reason, and they get it. They're like, oh God, I didn't realize like games were this good, and I didn't realize games could be this addictive. And it's like, oh my God, I've been telling you for all this time, you know. But it's fantastic. It's really, really, really worth purchasing.
Okay. And by the way, so I'm 99% positive this was published by EA. So it's in EA's... their subscription service, and that's also on the PlayStation. So you can get like an hour trial of this if you're signed up for the EA. Was it EA? It's not EA Play. What's the name of their service?
It got melded into Game
Pass. EA Access. Yes.
EA Access. Yeah. It's just that first chapter. It's exactly it is on Game Pass. You get to play that first chapter.
But that's perfect to let somebody dip their toes.
Yeah, like you did with Shell. She had the time then, because I think each chapter's about, but it probably gets longer as you go further into the game. But the first chapter's probably a good. It took us a good. That gave her enough time to go, do you know what? I really like this. I really like the story. And you see all, like, you know, the mechanics of the game. I thought the tutorials were really good. It was well worth just having that. They should do that in a lot of games, really. Just have a small proportion of it available for people to just go, oh yeah, I'll you know, you could play this and see if it's your thing. It's not like they've given it all away. Right. Yeah, well worth it.
Okay. All right. So from a happy, very light lifting experience of It Takes Two, we go to another two game, The Last of Us Part Two. Mark,
yep.
You have delved into The Last of Us Two.
Yeah, pretty 20 hours now. So yeah, this game is savage and brutal. It is so intense, and I am absolutely loving it. I don't know why I've waited a year to play this. I've made it well known that I loved the first game. It was my game of a generation back on the PS3 360 days. And this game just definitely lives up to it as well. So technical-wise, graphically, it is one of the best. Well, it is the best-looking game I've ever played. The facial animations are just so realistic. The characters are so human, it's untrue. It's like watching a movie. And I can understand now Greg watching it on YouTube and getting the same similar experience I'm getting. Just the little tiny nuances of a facial features and the expressions, it's just so realistic. It's hats off to Naughty Dog. They've just done an amazing job. It is Naughty Dog, isn't it?
You know what's funny, Mark? Just to kind of step back to the, you know, watching it on YouTube versus playing it.
Yeah.
I think most games, if we think about it, the gameplay is there and you get cutscenes that will connect the gameplay experiences.
Yeah, it's just a bridge,
But The Last of Us 2, I feel like it's the opposite, that the you know, the cinematic movie experiences are bridged by the gameplay. And the gameplay, to be perfectly honest, is almost secondary to the story that they're telling.
Oh, the story is superb. The storytelling, the way they portray it, it's just second to none. And this game's taken a big turn in a direction that I didn't expect. So obviously I won't do any spoilers, but first few hours of the game was a big wow WTF moment. And then this, can I mention about the character side of it, Greg, without spoilers?
I think you can navigate.
Of course you can.
So I expected to play this whole game as Joel and Ellie, like in the first game.
Right.
But you don't. You play what you originally think is the enemy, right? It's a woman called Abby. And at first I'm thinking, what the fuck? I don't want to play as her. I want to play as Ellie. But as you get into it, and like I said, I'm 20 hours in now, and I've been playing a lot as Abby. I think I've played more as Abby than I have of Ellie. You start to warm towards her, and you get to understand her more. And that is the skill and amazing work done by Naughty Dog, how they've done that. Just the way they've portrayed her at the beginning and the way you feel about her now, it's just you have to play it to experience it. You should, well, maybe even watch it to experience it.
It's hard to describe. You end up loving and hating both of them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think there's also that, and I call it the Walking Dead moment, because the Walking Dead has a moment in the series where they question, are we the good guys?
Yeah.
Or are we actually the bad guys?
Well, I think this
game 100% brings that into focus, more so.
Yeah, I don't think there are any good guys, bad guys. It's all about survival. And just like The Walking Dead, each group is out to survive and they don't trust anyone. They've introduced another group of people called Scars. So they're savage and brutal as well. It's just amazing. So when I first started playing as Ellie, I'm thinking, ace, she's got a knife, no more shivs, don't have to craft any more shivs. Started playing as Abby, guess what you've got to do? Yeah. You got to fucking craft shivs, which isn't such a big deal, but it just that pissed me off a little bit in the first game. And it's, but she, to be fair, she has got some more weapon range available to her. They've introduced a flamethrower. There's a crossbow in this one. So, yeah, they're all super effective and super awesome. There's some new infected. They've evolved over the time. So now there's some, like, bigger ones, a bit like Left 4 Dead's boomers, where they, like, explode in a pus of gas and kill you. And then sort of like 16 hours into the game in the hospital, there's this big fuck off monster thing with fucking extra arms and heads and a bit like Inside. And that was a nightmare. It's so exciting. Oh yeah, I must have died 5 or 6 times doing that.
It was your fault that got me into this game. And you sent me the first one, and this one is just phenomenal. When I sent it Robin like ages ago, and I think it's been everywhere apart from inside his PlayStation.
Yeah.
I want it back eventually, and I'm a bit worried about the state of what it's going to be like.
So you can tell me how far I'm in, Pete. I've just done the bit where Lev's gone back to the village for his mum.
Yeah.
And I'm in the village now. I've caught up with Lev. Something's happened. I won't spoil that. And we're just escaping the village now. So have I got a lot left?
Yeah,
I can imagine. Because I've still got to play as Ellie, I suppose.
Because I thought it's going to end at this point. And then it switched, so you play the other character. And then you think, hang on, this has got to be the end of it now. Because it goes, I'm not going to spoil it. And then I'm just like, oh, my God. It goes on, and it just keeps going.
So there's a few other puzzle elements they've introduced. There was puzzles in the first game, but in this one now, they've introduced like ropes and stuff. And some of them, and I did look them up on YouTube, some of them you had to really think. And one of them you had to smash a window and throw it over a beam on the outside, then go back outside and then climb up the rope. It's very clever how they've done it.
I like that part in the theatre as well, where you just get that time with the guitar and you can just strum a lot of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's just really, really well put together. And I think the puzzle elements of trying to get past even just the what they're called the clickers.
Yeah.
So some of those stages where you've got, I don't know, 10 or 12 clickers in a room.
Yeah.
It's tense, man. Yeah. It's sometimes
easier to self your way past them and not even take them down.
Yeah, but you're sweating, your bum's twitching because you just think that you're just gonna get killed like it within a breath. And that's what happens a lot of the time, you know, you do die a lot.
It puts a little zip in your sphincter.
Jesus, it does. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just an amazing game.
It's the best game I've played, I think, for years. Robin, whenever you send it back.
I want
to play this again.
I think I mentioned the last time I was on, well, the first time I was on for ages ago. When I first played this, my PS4 kept shutting down because it was like struggling with it. So I fully stripped it down. It was full of dust. I cleaned it all. I even put new thermal paste on the chip. Yeah.
Yeah.
And touch wood. My PS4 is running superb now. It's as quiet as the day I got it. But this game is making me want a PS5. I don't know why. I am actively seeking out a PS5 to play this game because it's my nephew's fault as well, because he says, if you think it's good now, play it in 4K, 60 frames per second on because he's got a PS5. Yeah. And then, no, Pete's got a PS5 as well. I think
That's why I want it back. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm just going to double dipping and buying it again. Yeah.
But
it's that good.
All right, Pete, I'll get it finished this year. Don't worry.
Yeah. I downloaded
Robin, you could make a pretty penny off this situation. I'm just saying.
Why has he got a PS5?
No, he just has Pete's copy of The Last of Us 2.
All right.
I can get it for a tenner now.
Yeah, you can at least make 5 off it, Robin. Jesus, you know?
Those women are cheaper.
I've downloaded Hotstock app on my phone, and every time I get the notification, I go onto it immediately. It'll tell me which supplier's got it in stock. I end up in a queue. 30 seconds later, sold out. Every fucking time. Rumours John Lewis have got some in and they're going to be going on sale on Tuesday, so I'm watching avidly for that. Because I want a digital edition. I don't want to pay the 450. I just want a digital edition one. They're only 350.
I purchased mine through Very, and Very's like a catalogue in England.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, they had stock I went in their queue and they sold out instantly.
Oh, did they? Because I wanted to get a digital one, but they seemed to be really flying off the shelf so quickly. Yeah. So I went to Very. And I had some money anyway for a digital one. So, and that was like by now paying 12 months. So I put the money that I had off the PS5 digital to that. And then I've got 12 months like of £20 a month or something like that.
I think they're about 80 quid cheaper, aren't they?
But the
thing with them too is there's no physical difference apart from the Blu-ray drive. Whereas the Xbox Series S and X, there's computer power difference, whereas a PlayStation there's no difference in power. So
I ain't really noticed that much difference, to be honest, with the Xbox. But then again, I've not really used it that much. I've left it on. I forgot that I left it on. It's been on for about 3 weeks up in the loft. I forgot to turn it off. What's that called, dear? It's a good job.
Yeah, so if anyone knows anyone selling and not scalping at a stupid price, anyone knows anyone selling a PS5, let me know.
All right. Okay.
But yeah, that's it for me. Last of Us 2. Loving it. Right. Best game ever.
Brilliant game.
let's see. So I dabbled with Sniper Elite 4. I knew there was an upgrade coming. I don't think I have the upgrade patch yet, though, on it, ironically. But I jumped into it. I wanted just to play something.
Oh, it's Series X enhanced now, isn't it? I saw the notification,
So that patch, I think it's out now, but I started playing it pre-patch. Still plays great. I like the Sniper Elite series. It's fun. It's stealthy combat. But you still can go all out combat if you want. If you just want to say "F it" and throw caution to the wind.
I have still got the X-ray shots.
Oh, totally, absolutely X-ray shots.
X-ray fucking nut shots.
Oh yeah, one of my favorites was I had one bullet through two heads.
Right.
That was brilliant. And then also utilizing the environments too, though. Utilizing the environments, so you see gas cans, you see explosive ammunition boxes, you can hit those. Blow them up and then take everybody around, in a large radius. So it's just been fun, been enjoying it. Got through the first like kind of mission area, took out my first couple Nazi officers. That was part of my mission, parameters. And just enjoying Sniper Elite 4. It's a good solid game. It's not perfect. It's had, a couple niggles here and there. Overall, I like it. And then I fired up Sea of Thieves. I wanted to check out the Pirate's Life. So I was very curious and I did not spend a lot of time. I had a very small window between getting it updated and then firing it up. Cause it, I actually deleted it off my drive. So I had to reinstall the whole thing. This game is just beautiful. It's a really beautiful game from a sea perspective. Being out in the ocean, there's just something awesome about it. And what I love is that they've added in the small ships and the Pirate's Life DLC that you can play. You can play it solo. You're not playing it with other players unless you do a co-op. That's the only way you'll encounter other players within that realm. So,
do you not think about all the fish peeing in the water? No.
Say it one more time.
Do you not think about all the fish peeing in the water?
No, that's. I mean, do you think about that when you go on your longboard and fall in the water repeatedly?
I gargle.
So when we played this one, it first launched, Craig. How much has the game changed, and is it a totally different game?
It feels bigger. Right. It definitely feels bigger. What's also nice is from the menu perspective. They let you pick if you want to go into Sea of Thieves kind of competitive, if you just want to go Sea of Thieves exploration, and then if you want to go Sea of Thieves, the Pirate's Life, DLC for Johnny Depp. So, I just kind of went straight into that menu option. So that feels different because that was not there before. Before you just were thrown into the world. Overall. I think I'll play more. I'm really kind of curious. I want to kind of complete at least the first mission within that DLC and check it out. And I'll have more to report later on.
It looks like a super, super polished Monkey Island. I love that game on the Amiga when it came out. But yeah, just all that.
When it launched, it was an amazing looking game.
Yeah.
It still is. It still looks fantastic, but it has that cartoon vibe to it. Obviously that they have a certain aesthetic that they've gone with. I think one of the things that still to me is amazing about this game is the actual navigation. You actually are having to use your maps. You're having to navigate your boat through the waters. There's no easy way about going about things, and that could be a plus or a minus, because I think at times it's kind of like, okay, it's a bit of a hassle to have to travel the ocean to get to point A to point B. But on the flip side of it,
it's pretty amazing just being out there sailing and navigating your ship and actually having to navigate it like you would a real ship, you know, using the wind, making sure you've got the wind being captured by the sails right, raising, lowering your sails, putting your anchor down, raising your anchor. That's all the stuff that you have to do. And I think most video games just let you bypass all of that. In this game, it kind of forces you to do that. And that's where having multiple people is important because you can crew a bigger boat.
So did you have seamen that you played with? Or was it just...
No, I did not play with any seamen, Robin. I was solo on this adventure. Yes, yes, exactly. This is I couldn't play with seamen. You have different boat sizes now. Again, just going back to the whole start of this podcast, I think. But there's larger ships that are 3 to 4 people that'll be needed to man that. Then there's a medium-sized ship, which is 2 to 3 people, and then there's the small sloop ships, which is 1 to 2 can command the ship, and it's not a problem.
So if you play by yourself, there's no seamen, but the more people you play with, there's lots of seamen.
Exactly.
Right.
Last game I want to talk about is The Last Stop. So this is a new release from Annapurna Studios, I believe is the name of the studio. I forgot what the game they did. They're very much kind of walking simulator type storytellers. This game is one of those kinds of games where it is very story driven. Control multiple different characters. It's kind of unique in how they set up the story. You start it off, they give you a choice of 1 or 3 characters. They're all sitting on a bench in a subway car. By the way, this takes place in England, in London. Start off in the tube. You start off in the tube, you select one of your characters, and then they go into their story. You finish the chapter on that character. It brings you back to that character selection screen. You pick the next character. You play out a series within their story, and then it brings you back to that character selection screen again. And so it's like you're playing these chunks of these different characters' lives, and then it brings them back in so you can select that other character that you played before and continue their story. It's a sci-fi game in that there's some kind of supernatural event that's happening. I can't give away too much because I haven't uncovered what the sci-fi event is. The very beginning tutorial section is, you're navigating through the underground tube area. You've stolen a police officer's hat, and they're chasing after you. You're 2 teenage kids. And you meet this gentleman, and he opens up this door that looks like it's a portal type door. One person goes through, the other person doesn't, but it sets the premise for the adventure to come. And that's the tutorial. But all of it is dialogue driven stuff. There's not really actions per se, although there's times where you'll use your sticks rotating it one direction or another to do some kind of the more manipulative things. At one point you're at a workstation at a guy's work, and you're stamping things, and so you're using your left thumbstick to maneuver the stamp over the envelope, and then you hit A to stamp it. But most of all, you're making dialogue choices, so it's kind of Oxenfree like in that way. Your dialogue choices matter, and so you'll drive the story forward by a lot of really the dialogue components to it.
Stop this and then stream now because I don't want to give any spoilers.
Yeah, that's the tutorial section right there, which you're seeing with the green door opening. That's the very beginning tutorial, so you haven't really spoiled anything. So there's a very cool kind of story happening so far. I'm excited to play more of it. I literally started it up this morning, probably played about an hour and a half of it. And there's still a ton of mystery around what's happening. I don't have a full grasp of it. And I've played through 3 different characters so far. And they're all 3 very unique, different characters. You have different parts of their lives. One was a dad, one was a teenage kid. So I don't want to spoil anything, but I feel like this is kind of one of those hidden gem games. It's on Game Pass as well, by the way. So if you have Game Pass, download it. I think it's on PC as well. But yeah, The Last Stop.
Greg,
so far, so good.
Just going back to the developer, they've also made What Remains of Edith Finch.
Thank you. Yes.
And Donut County as well.
Oh, so. Yes. Classic. Yes. See, it got better and better. Well, better and weirder, but I'm weird. Yeah, wow. I love to eat it.
So worth checking out if you're in for that kind of game. Again, there's not a lot of action to it. You do have the walking moments where you're walking from one area to the next. I will say it's not as bad as some other walking, quote-unquote, simulator games that I played where you literally are kind of walking the entire way.
Put that on the back
here,
of the box.
Here, they do kind of a lot of cutscene stuff. So it's like you say they have a shot of a city block. You walk from one edge to the other, and then they transition you into another screen, another viewpoint of your trip and journey. And so they kind of hop you along that way. So it doesn't feel as arduous as a walking simulator where you're just walking from point A to point B. Mm. But it's interesting. And the dialogue so far has been great. It's been fantastic. So really enjoying that aspect of it.
I fucking love this Wave XLR. I'm sorry. I just fucking love it tonight. I've been, while you've been chatting away there, I've been putting sound clips in the soundboard. I've been listening to them and you can't hear them. And just, it's so, such a joy to work with. You're going to love this. This is the way
forward.
That
makes me nervous.
This is the way forward.
Yes. All right. Well, speaking of the way forward, let's get on to it. We've got news to cover.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Here is the fucking news.
So once again, during a time when there's not supposed to be a lot of news happening, it's summertime, people are supposed to be on vacations, there seems to be a lot happening in the industry. So starting with kind of some of the more negative stuff, Activision has been sued by the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing. Basically, they filed suit against Activision for their alleged sexual harassment and discrimination within the workplace. Blizzard, made a statement saying the allegations and the hurt of the current and former employees are extremely troubling. That was from J. Allen Brack. It's early in this. So I don't want to say
give her a slap on the backside and send her on her way. Come on, fuck.
But that's in a lot of ways, Robin, I think that's what was happening at Blizzard. And the funny thing was there was a video that got released of, I guess, one of the BlizzCon moments where there was a young lady stood up and they were taking questions from the audience. And they had a whole panel for the World of Warcraft developers. And it was like all guys on the developer panel. And not that that should matter, but the woman says, are we going to get to a point in time where, our choices for female characters aren't, seemingly from a Victoria's Secret catalog? And the panel, when you listen to their responses, I mean, it basically starts off with, well, which catalog would you like them to be from? And then they just kind of go down the range of more or less just laughing this off and just kind of going back to this mantra of, well, this is what we want, kind of how we're going to keep it.
Yeah, fuck it. I'm sorry. Fuck it. Sorry. Look, if I'm watching a game and I'm looking at a girl, I don't want to be in real life. I want to look at an attractive girl. If I'm playing something like The Last of Us, which is real and real people, yes, they're going to have lumps and bumps. But if I'm playing a fantasy game, I should be looking at a fantasy woman and a fantasy guy. Fucking catch a grip. Be offended. Move on and leave us the fuck alone.
Well, that's the least of this, actually, Robin. That's just an example of the mentality. That's the example of the mentality happening at Activision. And in fairness, they were talking about things of, pregnant women that were having to take maternity leave, were being looked down upon, were being basically held back from promotion. There's a lot behind the scenes, and I'm not going to be the one to say, oh, just deal with it, because that's bullshit too, Robin. I'm sorry. There are times where you have to take a stance and you have to be like, no, this is a serious topic, and you guys are being a little bit thick-headed Okay. You're treating this like a frat house.
I'm sorry. Physical behavior, don't get me wrong. I'm totally on board with you. But as far as the stuff that everybody has to look like a lumpy woman or a lumpy man.
No. And I think
that's
that
a bit
was...
ridiculous. But bad behavior in the office is not to be tolerated.
Yes. And so my example, what I was trying to get at with that example, and maybe it was a poor example to use, but it was the reaction of the panel of developers and how they handled her ask. Not so much what she was asking, and I get it. You know what? The games are being made by developers, and it's their vision, not the gamers' vision per se. But it was the way they reacted to her ask.
I think
was very
what
telling.
Happened to that woman?
It's telling of
that
the
woman,
culture.
They giggled at that and said, "When are we going to get real people in this? Well,
of
what
course,
actually
of
happened
course. No,
to
I,
that
I
woman?
I get they giggled.
Was she offended?
Everybody laughed it off.
Did she cry forever? Was her life affected forever? Or did it make her go depressed on sets of drugs and stuff like that there to get her over this?
Yeah,
or was
see,
it just a
but
bit that,
now, see, I think you're being a bit insensitive to the topic. I think you're
physical
you're,
behavior.
You're treating
people are,
this.
People are offended too easily. It's ridiculous.
Right. I think some people are offended too easily. Absolutely. But when you have this culture happening at Activision over years and you have multiple people citing these things and talking about the issues happening within there, you know, this is a 2-year long investigation by California into Activision. So, you know, it remains to be seen to what happens on all this and how much has Activision actually corrected since this all started. That's another question. This is why I don't want to be completely disparaging to the situation, because maybe Activision really has done a lot of cleanup on the back end. I don't know, but it is disturbing, if nothing else, to hear some of the allegations. And I'm not even touching on the allegations, by the way, that came out from the lawsuit. There's a whole big old article. You can go read it yourself. So, but it's one to watch because it certainly can have ramifications for Activision and Blizzard moving forward. Tencent. Tencent is a company that not a lot of people talk about. We know they're a big company in the industry, but we talk about Sony, we talk about Microsoft, we talk about Nintendo. Tencent are a huge player in the industry, and they're getting even bigger. They are going to be buying the British video game company Sumo Group. This is the company that made basically worked on Flight Simulator for Microsoft, and they've done work for Crackdown 3. They did Sackboy, A Big Adventure. They also made the game Snake Pass. I don't know if you remember that, the snake puzzle game. So just interesting to see Tencent making moves like this. And picking up Sumo Group, which has been
that was a lot of money as well.
Yeah, $1.27 billion. I think they're going to continue to become a big force in the industry.
China.
All right, on to some fun stuff. Ubisoft announced the next Tom Clancy game, which is X Defiant. It is going to be free to play. It is a 6v6 first-person shooter.
Tactical shooter, they called it, didn't they?
Tactical shooter, but I mean, it's first-person. I don't know how tactical it truly is.
I know, yeah. I think they're trying to compete with the Valorants and stuff.
It seemed that way. It seems like, you know, very Valorant-like. It's interesting that they said you basically will play as part of one of multiple factions, and the factions are all being pulled from different Tom Clancy games.
Yeah, the Tom Clancy universe from different games. Yeah. Division and Ghost Recon, things like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not overly excited for this game, but I'm not...
I got an invite to the beta on this, but... I just didn't have time, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it on Twitch, and it looks pretty good, actually. And Ubisoft's... both the Tom Clancy Recon games and the Division games are shooting is top notch anyway. So, it's going to be good.
This is probably going to be massive.
It probably will be. Mm-hmm. Likely. And then speaking of another big move in the free to play space, Pro Evolution Soccer announced their next game will be going free to play. They actually also are changing the name of it. So it will no longer be Pro Evolution Soccer. The new name will be Pro Evolution eFootball. And it'll be free to play on consoles, PC, and mobile. They said that to start, it'll be local matches featuring FC Barcelona, Juventus, FC Bayern, Manchester United, Bayern. And then, so those will be free at launch. Certain game modes will be sold as optional DLC, and they'll kind of expand out. I'm sure their pay model will come to fruition. But it's interesting to see that this was the move. I didn't anticipate this being the move. They were really competing with FIFA, and I really wonder now how this separates the two. I mean, are either any of you guys big into the? I mean, Mark, I know you played FIFA in the past.
Yeah, I've done a bit of FIFA. I've played it from EA when it came free to play, and I quite enjoyed it. I'm no good at it. I get hammered by my nephews when I play with them. But yeah, it's good fun. It's quite good. I've not played the last 2 years of FIFA. I think the last time I played it was FIFA 20 or FIFA 19. But yeah, I'm not interested in this, to be honest.
I'm a great fan of the US ladies soccer team. I think they're really good, and I aspire to be one of them. In fact, I have the right to be one of them, and I may become one of them. So,
you identify.
Yeah. I identify as a member of the U.S. ladies.
Pete, are you into the footy? Are you into the football at all?
I'm into football as much as you're into chess.
okay, fair enough.
Now, but the thing is, I mean, the model, if they can bring out some good DLC, if they can update it regularly, the cross-play is slick, you know, this could be paying £60 a year for fucking FIFA. That's... It really, like, I don't understand the mentality of the people that buy into FIFA every single year. I don't get it. It's just like
Call of Duty. That's it. You know, every year, two games.
I mean, call it. Well, look what they've done. They've put Warzone out tonight, and that's look how popular that's been over the years so far. But I don't know. This could work.
I think this can work. I agree with you. It's interesting. You talk about FIFA, we talk about Call of Duty. So FIFA and Madden, NHL, I've always thought they should probably every other year just do roster updates for DLC. Pay £15, you get your roster updates to happen. And this way, you feel like when the new game does come, it feels new.
It needs to. It's got to the point where it needs to be a platform rather than a new game every year.
Yeah.
I think if the emphasis as well is on tournaments and having just some good online activity, you know, as, like you say, there's amateur esports tournaments on this. If that's going to be managed really well and give not just the professional players but the amateurs a real good chance of having an element of, you know, a good feeling of competition and being part of something that they can at least not get. I mean, you go on Warzone now and you just get blown away by all these people that are just amazing. If they put like a ranking system in where, I don't know, they control it better, dependent on your ability on the game, and they don't ruin it too much for the newbies, then it could be good. I won't play it, to be perfectly honest. But
it can be good. I will not play it.
No, but I'll tell you what, though. If there was a competition, like an OC... podcast competition on football, like a 2-on-2 or a 3-on-3 or whatever, or it was just some of the listeners, then you know, it might be worth just jumping into for that. But I wouldn't dive into this, to be honest.
Oh, Martin says gross chess with football, chest ball.
I could get into that,
actually. Yeah, I think we all could get into a little chess ball. So real quick side note, by the way, Call of Duty, where's the new game announcement? Are we not getting a new Call of Duty this year? Doesn't sound like we are, which is going to be kind of amazing. The first year and how long? So, I mean, you know, the watch is still on. Obviously, they still have time, but they're running out of time.
Please say Call of Duty again.
Sorry, say it one more time, please.
Please say Call of Duty again.
Call of Duty.
Ooh, Call of Duty. I love duties.
Call of Duty. Yes, everybody loves a duty. All right, EA Play, speaking of duty, they did their duty. They had their EA Play session this past week.
they made their game announcements. And it was an interesting mix. I wasn't blown away by what they had, but there's some good stuff within this. So the first game that came up was Grid Legends, which was interesting because this actually is utilizing full motion video for their cutscenes. And I think it kind of fits for a driving game. Just don't worry about trying to make CGI characters. Just give me the story bits.
The war WhatsApp chat went bananas, and I wonder what the hell you were talking about. I didn't realize this was on. So, oops. But now I realize, okay, because you mentioned me here, Robin. What about this? And I'll go, what?
Yeah, yeah. Grid Legends, they've got open wheeled racing. They've got, I mean, it's a pretty slick racing, presentation. And I've liked Grid games for the destructibility of the cars. I think they always look fantastic.
Yeah, they've been pretty good. I've enjoyed them. I've played them all. Yeah, I've enjoyed them and finished them.
Something to keep an eye out for. They also announced, actually, I'll go through the smaller games real quickly because there was a few that they announced that were just kind of like, Apex Legends Immersion, which just feels like it's just more DLC for Apex Legends, which I honestly don't care about anymore. There was a small game called Lost in Random, which looks like it's kind of a card battling game mixed with platforming. There's like dice rolling, there's cards that you can utilize. Again, not something I'm probably going to be playing personally. Knockout City Season 2 got announced. And then Sims 4, I think it's Cottage Living. I honestly, I could not go back to it. Cottage Living, yes. Not Cottage Cheese Living, but Cottage Country Living.
I don't think he knows what it is.
No, he don't.
George Michael,
I don't.
Just Google Cottage in after the podcast, Greg.
I know what Cottage is, but I don't think I know what the UK version of Cottage is.
What did Cinderella say when she got to the ball? Yeah, it's that.
Okay. Moving forward. They did announce the Dead Space remake. I'm just going to, I can ignore all three of you. It's easy for me. Just right past you. Dead Space remake. It looks like this is just the remake of the original Dead Space game. They've just, they're going to do the graphical overhaul to it. They're probably going to make some of the actual combat systems more refined. But my understanding is it's not like a wholly reimagining of the game. But I'm not 100% positive. Everybody knows differently. Let me know.
Yeah, Dead Space 2 is the one to remake, not the first one.
I thought 1 was awesome.
It's good. It's good, but it's a bit more sort of corridor.
That ending.
In the one ship. With that big monster and stuff like that. It's really, really good, but I think 2 is the one.
By the way, Martin in the chat has stated story with racing games. Yuck. So,
No. He said, Yuki, which is a Japanese racer who just loves that sort of style.
My bad. Yes. Yuki the racer.
With one of the Need for Speeds as well.
Yes.
That was
pretty bad.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I'm expecting the same quality, by the way. So I don't expect it to be fantastic. But who knows? Who knows? The last big announcement was a new mode for Battlefield 2042, which is Portal. So if you think, gosh, I wish I could take some of the stuff from the new Battlefield game and some of the stuff from some of the old Battlefield games, and I could just mash them all together, that's what Portal lets you do. So you'll literally be able to have like World War II soldiers with F-22 Raptor fighter planes and Stinger rocket launchers. It is allowing you to create your own sets of rules, so to speak.
I thought you'd have like a blue or an orange gun, and then you could like zap between different like areas, like with a portal gun. No.
This is literally like you could set up a mode of having 30 people all controlling small little robot tanks. And then one on the field with an M1 battle tank. And it's, you get crazy with the rules.
Nazis there.
Yes. Like I said, it's, you can have people with
horseback.
Yeah. I mean, it literally throws every kind of conventional rule out the window
and you can create all of these mixtures of different things.
All right.
So one of the episodes, or one of the things they showed, was they had one side armed with just knives, and the other side was armed with the heart attack paddles. Those were your weapons, and you just went to war with those. So I think
that'd be a good, fun community game. It'd be like when we used to do Call of Duty shipment with shotguns only or knives only.
Yeah. On the screen now, we've got
it's like Rocket Racers. You know, and this is bringing the fun into Battlefield.
Sorry, on the screen right now is a squad of 2042 specialists, and they're versus an army of World War II Germans. So, yeah. Brilliant. So old weapons against new weapons. That's cool.
So I think, like I said, I think this is going to bring a nice, fun mix to Battlefield, aside from the main Battlefield game.
Oh, I can just hear
Battlefield's shaping up to be one of the big games for this holiday. I don't think we're going to see a Call of Duty to go up against it either, which really is a first.
Today, built by our old friends
Robin,
over...
we're hearing that audio, by the way.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that works. Good.
Sorry. All right. Well, that's the news. A big week. Mark.
Yes.
If you would be so kind, I would love for you to be your best Kim and talk about the games coming up this coming week that we could buy and play and have fun with.
Well, I ain't even going to insult Kim by trying to do her accent, so I'll just do it in my accent. So. Yeah, so this is on behalf of Kim. So the new releases
in
July...
a female voice, Mark. In a female voice.
No, I can't do that. July 25th to the 31st of July. So we've got Contra Returns on iOS and Android on the 26th. Microsoft Flight Simulator comes to Series X and S on the 27th. Neo, The World's End With You. On PlayStation 4 and Switch on the 27th. Samurai Warriors 5 on Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. No PS5. That's on July 27th. The Great Ace Attorney Chronicles comes to PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC on the 27th. Tribes of Midgard on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and PC. That sounds a bit Viking-ish, Pete.
It does.
That's the 27th. Yes. This is an affliction Greg's got, I think, Chernobyl Light on the PC, July 28th. Nier Reincarnation on iOS and Android on the 28th. The Forgotten City on PlayStation 5, X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC on the 28th. Eldest Souls on PlayStation 5, Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, PC on the 29th. These descriptions are getting so long now, out of all these consoles. Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster Series. What? On PC, iOS, and Android on the 29th. The Ascent on Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC. I'm sure that's coming to Game Pass. I'm sure I've seen that on Game Pass. I'm coming soon. Robin alike, Alone With You in Bed on the Switch, July 30th.
Got him!
And that's actually just Alone With You, yes. Yeah. But Pete, that could be you, alone
I'm
with you Bergen. In bed and your Switch.
It could.
Yes. All right. Thank you for that, Mark. All right. Thank you for that. Wonderful. I cannot wait to get Flight Simulator and get all of your addresses and
Absolutely.
Fly over your homes.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
I keep on searching for it to see when it's there. I want to.
I've got it on PC.
I have it downloaded on my Series X, and it lets you start it up.
Oh, you can't?
It just brings you to a screen that says, you're too early.
I'm searching for it.
You went in the departure store. Lounge. Please wait.
Yes.
Yeah. You're not double vaccinated. You can't get on. I've been searching for it in the store. How did you find that, Greg?
Go on to Game Pass. It'll let you install.
Okay, I'll do that, and then I can just shake and bake.
Before you start shaking and baking, can you please talk about victories achieved?
I can't talk about victories achieved. Last week we had a winner, and the winner was that man, Lord. He's been in the chat tonight. I still have to send him off a Steam voucher, which he's confirmed that he wants, and I will get that off to him very, very shortly. And what Victory Achieved is a three-monthly draw. All you have to do is finish your games up to the credits, and you take a lovely selfie of yourself with the credits in the background, and you tweet that off to @OC_podcast with a hashtag victory achieved. You can WhatsApp it into one of our WhatsApp groups. And if you want to be part of our WhatsApp groups, just contact any of us at Bungo the Sea and we'll get you in there as well. Or you can email the show and send it to podcast@ocpod.com any way you want on Facebook. Just finish those games. Let us know that you finished the game and you'll be entered into a draw to win $20 or £15 gift card for PSN, XBL or Steam. So, the next contest runs until the end of September, and this week we had the lovely Martin Chesworth, Martin C, 1984. He finished Rise, Son of Rome, completed in one fucking sitting. Not a bad way to spend his Sunday while the rain was falling outside. Martin, rain? You're in the UK? Is there rain in the UK? Wow. Well done anyway. Rise is a good fun game. I always like a good game with gladiators in it.
Spoiler, John Mouse also now playing this game. Ooh. I think the it's getting a second go round now. People are and people actually are liking
it's
it.
It's a good game. I loved it. Yeah,
it
I
is mean, a good game.
The only downside of Rise, the Son of Rome, was the skirts were too long. No. The characters, there was only about seven baddies or seven characters. That's the only bad thing you could say about that game. If they had had 20 different variants of baddies, that game would have been absolutely perfect. But I mean, and again, you can overlook that. That was bad. Maybe they thought they had enough skirt, various skirts in it. But then again, you can never have enough skirt. sorry. I apologize. No, I don't. John Mouse, speaking of which, his forehead finished Rage, the original 360 one, which is really kind of cool. I like what I'm doing this week.
Seeing only his forehead put me into a rage. That's what I have to say to that.
I want to put a tattoo on that forehead. Please send emails to podcast@ocpod.com to suggest what tattoo we should get on John Mouse's forehead. And Dan,
I'm curious, by the way, to see what he thinks of the ending of Rage.
I think he should tattoo fingers on his forehead just to get a scale of it.
Yeah,
he's got to be at least a six finger, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What were the two Irish twins called that were on the X Factor? Mark and Pete.
You on about?
Jedwood, right?
Jedwood. Yeah, if he just grew that hair a little bit, he would just fit in. Be like the third. He'd be like the triplet Jedwood. Anyway, Dan Natman Hardly Dan finished Yakuza Zero, and his beard and is well trimmed, and his hair is getting quite long. He's actually starting to look a bit like Mike Chinn in the olden days. He really is.
It's not Jesus.
It's Mike Chinn hair. Anyway, so those three people get entered into a draw to win Martin Chesworth's nose, John Mouse's forehead, and Hardly Dan's hair. All get entered into the draw, and they will be drawn. They're in. So all that happens in the meantime is they get this wonderful sound clip.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have a victory's achieved.
Congratulations.
I think I was passing a kidney stone when I made that.
Banana.
All right. We are at that time. We run out of things to talk about. So.
Never.
I know. That's a lie. That's a total lie. But, Mark, if you would be so kind, let's start off the shout outs with you. Who would you like to shout out, if anybody?
Shout out to you guys for giving me a lot of stick for not being on again. and not being as active as I should be. So apologies for that. But yeah, I'm hoping to get back into it now. I did have a bit of a wobble the other day, and I'm thinking, have I just sort of like stopped doing it? And because I've not done it for so long, and work's getting too much hours-wise. But yeah, no.
There's a famous GIF out there, Mark, of a basically Will Smith slapping the face of another guy and saying, stop it. And that is me to you. Stop it.
Now me, I've perked up, and I was really tired early, and I'm still tired, but I'm a lot happier now. But yeah, so I'm going to try and get more regular on here. Just shout out to all the listeners. I've missed all you guys. And Kim for her birthday. Cindy for her birthday. Who else will be on birthdays? Yeah, all the people with birthdays. And over to Pete.
I'm going to share to the people in the chat, or chat as people say. Academy Impossible, A10, Bloodiness, Boomer, Commander Root, Martin or N1. I don't know how this is pronounced. MSLNT, is it? N-T, whatever. Sorry if I pronounced it wrong, but there we go. Murphy's Law.
Who?
Good looking chap he is. And Resettles. So those are the people that was in the chat tonight. Thanks for being part of it. And I'm not going to share it to anybody else because I feel miserable. So I'll hand you over to Robin.
Pete!
No.
Oh,
Pete!
Not I've got Duke. An extra shout out as well.
Pete!
What?
Us and the podcast would love to wish you all the very best for next weekend. You're getting happy.
Oh,
Harry,
oh yes.
So absolutely friggin' awesome, man. It's such a bold move. And if I ever decide to do it again, I'll be very, very happy to take Shell off your hands. So congratulations. I hope it goes really well. I'm sorry between COVID and our kids, stuff like that there, you know, and Greg in Los Angeles nearly. You know, we have excuses. Mark doesn't really. And a few of the others, Phil doesn't have an excuse either. Kim has an excuse, but no one else has an excuse. So we're sorry because we have an excuse for not being there, but the other ones don't have a reason because they don't obviously care enough.
Well, there will be an OC podcast original crew member there, my brother.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, but he doesn't really count, does he?
He's divorced us, yeah.
So look here, I hope it's a fantastic day. It is a great day. Remember, enjoy yourselves. It's your day. It's one of those days you can be completely selfish in yourselves. Yes, I know you're doing this for all the other people, but really, really enjoy your day. Don't hold anything back. If you want to take her on the table with the cake, you do it, man, because it's your day. It'll give some people something to talk about for years to come. So just enjoy it. Get in there, man.
Thanks. Good tip.
And as I am holier than thou, please check out my wife's Instagram page, @_lovesharonfoster, where we look after vulnerable young little children. And of course, I'm a fantastic role model for that sort of thing. And if you want to learn about fostering of children, please go elsewhere. Greg, thank you.
Sage advice, Robin. Sage advice. Pete, we do wish you all the best. I really hope she says yes this time. we are at the end of the show. As always, we really appreciate everybody who's hung out, had a laugh, been part of the chat, speaking their mind, throwing questions out there, commenting. It's all good stuff. We love it. Love seeing Mark back in the chair. Love seeing Pete back in the chair. Love seeing Robin actually able to mix the decks properly. So it has been a fantastic show all the way around. We'll do it again next week, minus me, because I'll be shagging Mickey. I mean, Minnie. All right. That's it. Let's roll some tape. Let's get out of here. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.